Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is All You Need to Know Radio on this special edition of our show. Are you ready? Tonight, President Donald Trump is making history by being the fourth president ever to face impeachment. We're going to talk about it in some great detail. And today, there's been some incredible events that is just crazy, even in the mind of this president. But right now, this is All You Need to Know Radio, and it starts right now. Song pick of the week. This is All You Need to Know Radio with your host, John Hollywood.
My microphone's falling.
Timber!
It's falling. Why is my microphone falling?
If a microphone falls in the middle of a studio and there's no one else to hear it, does it really make a sound?
That's actually kind of funny, except that it's really falling. But it still sounds good. But, guys, let's talk about this real quick because President Trump is making history once again, and probably not the kind of history he thought he'd be ever – if he would be making, but he is.
I don't know. And he's always wanted to be the best at something, and I figure this is kind of one of those times that not only has he messed up, he's blamed himself for messing up, and then he's taking the bragging rights for messing up so bad. Then he's going to pawn it off on somebody else tomorrow. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said he's going to pawn it off on somebody else tomorrow. But so far, he has admitted to it, showed evidence of it, and worked with the House of Representatives to make sure they all understand exactly what it is that he did.
Well, and the thing is that today he kind of crossed the line. And hold on one second, guys, because we've got some breaking news. This is All You Need to Know Radio, coming to you with some breaking news tonight. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has had enough. And she says Donald Trump, the sitting president of the United States, is involved in a cover-up. Listen to her.
And the facts are these, that the president of the United States and his actions in a telephone call with a head of state betrayed his oath of office, our national security, and the integrity of our elections. This is about the facts. This is about the Constitution of the United States. and we have to make judgments in an inquiry as we go forward. There are some in our caucus who think, let's just have an impeachment. No, we have to have an inquiry to further establish the facts. There is no rush to judgment, and in some ways we are a jury, open to what might be exculpatory or not. The complaint states that the White House tried to lock down all records of the call, especially the word-for-word transcript. That gave the whistleblower reason to believe that they, the White House, understood the gravity of what transpired in that call. The complaint reports a, quote, repeated abuse of an electronics record system designed to store classified, sensitive national security information, which the White House used to hide information of a political nature. This is a cover-up. This is a cover-up. Why the president thinks that this is exculpatory, maybe he doesn't know that word, that the president thinks that this proves his innocence only goes to show how further he doesn't understand right from wrong. As I have said, I respect the role of the president is to speak to foreign leaders, and sometimes their conversations have a level of confidentiality that is appropriate. It is not the role of the president to shake down foreign leaders for his own political purpose, using withholding taxpayer money to do so.
Okay, so that was House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Copperhead, just coming here with some breaking news. She responded to Donald Trump's basically calling this another witch hunt. It's the biggest disgrace in national history. I mean, you know how he's verbose about everything. I mean, nothing can just be a simple right or wrong.
Well, in this case, she's laid it out as pretty black and white that he went to a foreign nation and withheld aid as a bait to get them to continue or to start a investigation of Biden. So basically, he went to another power and said, I'm not going to give you this money that Congress has allotted towards you unless you continue these findings on Biden and his son.
But what's so funny is Chris Christie was on Good Morning America yesterday, and he said Donald Trump is probably okay unless in the conversation he says, do me a favor. That's the first words out of his mouth.
The other issue here is we have no evidence at all.
We're going to let them read a little bit of the report so our listeners can hear it for themselves. And then unbelievably, Donald Trump's response once on the tarmac before he gets on whatever that Marine One is called. I don't even like to address this guy as the president because he's such a disgrace to this nation. However, he is at this point the sitting president, and the sitting president went as far as to threaten someone's life today. It's just incredible. So, once again, guys, if you're just joining us, this is a very special edition of All You Need to Know Radio. I'm your host, John Hollywood, your co-host, Copperhead.
I'm Copperhead.
Say hello, Copperhead.
Hello, Copperhead.
And we also have our Best in Justice guy that will be joining us here in just a minute. Right now, this is courtesy of CNN. And just listen for yourself. This is from the whistleblower. And there are certain laws that protect whistleblowers. Maybe Donald Trump doesn't know them like he doesn't know the alphabet and things like that. So take a listen, everybody. We'll be back.
All right. The breaking news is this. Just moments ago, we received this document. This is a redacted version of the whistleblower complaint to the intelligence community that expressed serious concerns about the president and the White House. Let me read you one line. In the course of my official duties, I have received information from multiple U.S. government officials that the President of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. election.
It goes on. I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. However, I found my colleagues' accounts of these events to be credible because in almost all cases, multiple officials recounted fact patterns that were consistent with one another.
This interference includes, among other things, pressuring a foreign country to investigate one of the president's main domestic political rivals. The president's personal lawyer, Mr. Rudolph Giuliani, is a central figure in this effort. Attorney General Barr appears to be involved as well.
About that phone call, very quickly, multiple White House officials with direct knowledge of the call informed me that after an initial exchange of pleasantries, President Trump used the remainder of the call to advance his personal interests. Namely, he sought to pressure the Ukrainian leader to take actions to help the president's 2020 reelection bid.
All right, let's go to Lauren Fox, who's outside the hearing room. We're waiting to hear from the director of national intelligence. This is the document we've been waiting for. Lauren, you've had it for a few minutes longer than we have. What jumps out at you?
Well, I think the key points here, Rudy Giuliani is a key person who's involved here. And again, the president was using his office, this whistleblower alleges, basically to solicit foreign interference in the election against his top political rivals. That's going to be serious. And Democrats in here are going to be questioning the top spy this morning about exactly why this complaint did not come to Congress earlier, given the gravity of what is being alleged here. We knew that this was going to be damaging. That's what a lot of Democrats who were coming out after they saw this in a classified setting last night were saying. Adam Schiff, the top Democrat on this committee, warned that what he saw was very disturbing. And other Democrats as well came out and said, this is just more proof that Nancy Pelosi made the right decision when she announced earlier this week that they were moving forward with that impeachment inquiry. Of course, now more than half of the Congress supports moving forward with that inquiry, a very significant development, and we're going to be watching for more. I'm also going to be continuing to read through this complaint just before Democrats sit down again with Joseph McGuire, the DNI.
All right, Lauren, thank you very much. Please stand by for us. We want to go through a key part of this document that we're just seeing, Allison, if you want to read this. Efforts to restrict access to records related to the call.
In the days following the phone call, I learned from multiple U.S. officials that senior White House officials had intervened to, quote, lock down all records of the phone call, especially the official word-for-word transcript of the call that was produced, as is customary, by the White House Situation Room. This set of actions underscored to me that White House officials understood the gravity of what had transpired in that call.
White House officials told me they were directed by White House lawyers to remove the electronic transcript from the computer system in which such transcripts are typically stored for coordination, finalization, and distribution to cabinet-level officials. Instead, the transcript was loaded onto a separate electronic system that is otherwise used to store and handle classified information in an especially sensitive nature. One White House official described this act as an abuse of this electronic system because the call did not contain anything remotely sensitive from an...
Okay, guys, so you're listening to CNN. This is courtesy of CNN. Listening to them talk about the whistleblower's report because Trump did declassify it, thinking it was going to help his cause. However, his office actually emailed the unredacted version to Nancy Pelosi's office in a ride of irony. This is All You Need to Know Radio. We'll go back to CNN. We'll be back.
Phone call. They had told me there was already a discussion ongoing with White House lawyers about how to treat this call because of the likelihood in the official's retelling that they had witnessed the president abuse his office for personal gain.
All right. Again, the key thing here, White House officials told me they were directed by White House lawyers to remove the transcript from the computer system in which transcripts are typically stored. Governor Kasich, you are here with us right now. The suggestion here, it's not just a suggestion, it's flat out stated by this whistleblower. And again,
I don't think this is by the whistleblower. I think this is a report by the
This is the letter from the whistleblower. The inspector general then investigated it and finds this to be of urgent concern, which adds credibility
here. And I think it explains why he was of urgent concern.
But what about that notion that White House lawyers ordered...
Well, they knew they had a problem with that call. I mean, there's no question about it. So they get rid of it. See if you can move it off the computer. So somebody early on felt this was inappropriate. And that's, I think, what the whistleblower said. Wait a minute, you're not going to move that off so it can't be investigated. I'm going to report this to the inspector general. And so that's the critical nature, as my read here, because we've just, as you know, we've just been handed this document. But I think what happened is there was somebody in the White House that said, no, we're not going to bury this. This has to get out. People have to understand what transpired. That's my read of this. And of course, there were people in the White House saying, no, we don't want anybody to see this. And the whistleblower saying, wait a minute, this has to come to the light of day. And it's very serious, extremely serious.
Caitlin, your reaction as you read this and how do you think the White House...
And what's so interesting is we've heard White House officials downplay this whistleblower, saying it was someone who they believed was biased, that didn't like the president. And when you're reading this, it says, quote, over the past 4 months, more than half a dozen U.S. officials have informed me of various facts related to this effort. So this person who made this complaint spoke to multiple people and says later on that essentially what they were hearing from some people, they were hearing from multiple people. So, and they corroborated each other's stories. So essentially, it's multiple people inside the government that were making claims about this.
Here's the thing. When I look at this, how does it make me feel? It's just really depressing because, you know, I know that the news is hyperbole and we've got to get out there and all this. But you know what? Removing a president of the United States, taking him out of the White House, because I remember the day when Nixon got on the helicopter and flew out of there. And I don't want to compare them, but I remember that. We deal with the presidency. It's a very serious matter. And to see this, this is very, very serious.
Does it make that possibility more likely? Does this document make that possibility more likely?
Well, what this document says is that you had White House people who wanted to not let this call become public, who then acted to try to not have it come public. And this statement says this was urgent concern because the IG sees this and says, no, this has to get out there.
There's a word for
this.
There's a word for this, or a hyphenated word. It's cover up. The idea here that it's not the conversation, not just the conversation itself, but it's covering up and hiding
trying to remove
the
call. Yeah, I'm with you on this.
Hey guys, this is John Hollywood. This is All You Need to Know Radio you're listening to. This is courtesy of CNN talking about the whistleblower report that the Trump administration declassified early this morning. We have just a little bit more time. We are going to skip all commercials into tonight's show. And when we come back, we'll have Copperhead with us and Almost War Ranch with War Ranch and Nunn, sponsors of this show. And I can't wait to hear his take on all of this. Back to the show, back to CNN. Thank you again, CNN.
In a way where the American people can say, this is a problem. Yeah,
okay,
that's what I'm suggesting.
But speaking of Rudy Giuliani, let's get back to this and talk about a big part of it where it says, this person says they heard from multiple U.S. officials that they were deeply concerned by what they viewed as Mr. Giuliani's circumvention of national security decision-making processes to engage with Ukrainian officials and relay messages back and forth between Ukraine and the president. It goes into pretty detailed how all of this got started
before
this phone call that we're talking about. And it's saying that State Department officials, including ambassadors, had spoken with Giuliani in an attempt to, quote, contain the damage to U.S. national security. It's talking about how they met with members of the administration to discuss policy matters, and they were receiving from U.S. officials on one hand and from Mr. Giuliani on the other. This is going to be a big deal, talking about how the president's personal attorney was intervening in relations between the United States and Ukraine.
That is just unbelievable to me, that they've got this. He's not even working in the government.
Yeah.
He's an attorney. He's running. He's trying to negotiate stuff. This is again, this rises again to another level of, well, look, at the end, we see what
you
the facts
yourself.
Are.
Yeah, you stop yourself every time.
You know why? Because it's hard to characterize it in a way. I want to be careful about that. We're dealing with the president of the United States. I have never been a fan of his. I've never supported him. I just want the process to play out. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts is all I want. And the jury in my mind, John, the jury is out in my mind as to whether this is going to lead to his removal. I don't want to go there.
All right, so understand, first of all, guys, we're going to go ahead and let go of CNN for a little bit. This is All You Need to Know Radio. I'm your host, John Hollywood. And, guys, today's show is really an important show. The President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, now becomes the fourth president to ever face impeachment in the history of our country. Now, here are Donald Trump's comments directly from the horse's mouth.
We have the best economy anywhere in the world, by far. We've
That's
rebuilt
dangerous.
Our military. We've done so many things that are so incredible with tax cuts and regulations. And I have to put up with Adam Schiff on an absolutely perfect phone call to the new president of Ukraine. That was a perfect call. But Adam Schiff doesn't talk about Joe Biden and his son walking away with millions of dollars from Ukraine and then millions of dollars from China. Walking away, in a quick meeting, walking away with millions of dollars. He doesn't talk about Joe Biden firing a prosecutor. And if that prosecutor is not fired, he's not going to give him money from the United States of America. They don't talk about that. My call was perfect. The president yesterday of Ukraine said there was no pressure put on him whatsoever, none whatsoever. And he said it loud and clear for the press. What these guys are doing, Democrats are doing to this country, is a disgrace, and it shouldn't be allowed. There should be a way of stopping it, maybe legally through the courts, but they're going to tie up our country. We can't talk about gun regulation. We can't talk about anything because, frankly, they're so tied up. They're so screwed up. Nothing gets done except when I do it. I'm using Mexico to protect our border because the Democrats won't change loopholes in asylum. When you think of that, and I want to thank Mexico, 27,000 soldiers they have. But think of how bad that is. Think of it. Well, we use Mexico because the Democrats won't fix our broken immigration system. We need their votes. If we don't get their votes, we can't do it. And the Republicans are all on board. They want to fix it, but the Democrats won't do it. They don't want to talk about infrastructure. They don't want to talk about lowering drug prices. They don't want to talk about anything because they're fixated on this. And Nancy Pelosi has been hijacked by the radical left, and everybody knows it. Thank you.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up to date with the videos.
All right. So thank you, MSNBC. That was straight from the horse's mouth. And now we have joining us, if you're just joining us once again, this is All You Need to Know Radio. And I'm your host, John Hollywood. And we also have our co-host, Copperhead. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And we have Amos Roerich with Roerich and Nunn. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, John. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing, Copperhead?
You know, honestly, for me, I know you're talking to Copperhead. For me, I'm a little sad today. The reality of this country is coming in clear form, and we are in a bad place.
This is that point in time where you realize that you've gotten so medically sick or whatever that you have to cut that limb off of your body, and this is whether or not you take that chance, that risk. It feels like that's a great metaphor as far as like the gangrene has set in, the rot has set in. Do you lose your foot at this point in time?
So Amos, I'm really curious as to what your thoughts are on all the details of the day.
Yes, sir. So it's a fast moving story, and there continues to be developing news about it on, it feels like, an hourly basis. It's pretty clear if you read the Office of the Inspector General's report that was being read out by the CNN report that we were listening to earlier.
By the way, it's only five pages long for those of those that don't like to read. This is a super easy read. It's black and white. This is not the Mueller report where we have two books of 600 pages. This is 5 pages.
I completely agree, and that's actually a great point and part of the reason why I think that this is a lot more likely to lead to Donald Trump's impeachment and possibly, even though I think it's quite unlikely, but possibly his removal or his resignation. Because
I don't want his resignation.
The Russia,
do you want his resignation?
But unlike the Russia scandal, well, if John, it doesn't matter. If he's resigns, he'll be indicted.
That's true.
So the and he won't do it unless the House passes impeachment. But regardless, the point that I was trying to make is, unlike the Russia investigation, which is complicated, tons of moving parts, this is super simple, and it's such an obvious quid pro quo. Another thing that is worth reading and an easy short read for your listeners is the readout of the telephone call, the July 25th telephone call that Donald Trump just called perfect. It's incredibly obvious that he's dangling a quid pro quo of $400 million for the prosecutor in Ukraine to investigate his political rival.
And what's insane about this is that the only pushback that the Republican Party has is that the original whistleblower is getting information from other people and collaborating it together with another source, she heard, he heard, whatever, from other people, and then they blew the whistle. So the Republicans
are pushing
that.
Who is that whistleblower? Reports today came out that, well, we don't know exactly, but reports today came out that it is a CIA operative who has detail on Ukraine. And, well, no, it does. Because
well,
why does that person keep getting told? That person kept getting told this is a problem because he's the CIA operative assigned to the Kiev, assigned to Ukraine in the White House. So
this is
a
bigger issue,
though. A bunch of people are going to talk to him about it.
It's irrelevant whether or not his evidence necessarily is valid. Like, he got it all third hand. Great, fantastic. I can chalk that up as to like hearsay or whatever. But the fact is that Donald Trump's office himself is the one who left out who released the phone call. You can read it for yourself. You don't have to validate it because it came from the source. I mean, he damned himself. This is not something that, you know, magically steal dossier and it's a loop-de-loop, whatever you want to draw and confuse people about. This is seriously Donald Trump showed to you a phone call where he committed treason.
Well, if you listen to the way he responded almost, he started talking about the economy. He started going all of the things that he goes to every time he's in trouble. And it's just the same old song and dance. It's the worst the president's ever been treated in history. It's presidential harassment. I don't know what the hell a perfect phone call is. What's a perfect call? What's a perfect phone call? What happens on a perfect phone call?
It's where they do a double backflip tuck and they stick the landing and they keep both hands in the air and both feet on the ground.
I don't know. Almost just trying to take a deep breath for your response.
I find that funny, but I think that in general, the problems here for Donald Trump politically continue to mount, and I don't think it's super likely because we're reasonably close to an election, but I do suspect if I were a betting man, I'm not, and it's illegal to bet on politics and I don't do it, but if I were a betting man, I think I would bet the House is going to file articles of impeachment within the year of 2020, and I think it's pretty unlikely at this point that the Senate convicts, but something that I found pretty interesting was I saw a report, I believe yesterday, that stated that if there was a secret vote, 30 Republican senators would vote to convict in the Senate.
We've also heard a report from Fox News that shows that 60% of Americans are now getting to the point where they're over Trump. So even the American people, that's what they've been waiting on, I think, for the most part. Republicans and Democrats both don't want to lose the seat that they're in, which means they don't want to rock the boat, which means they don't want to upset their voters. So they've been walking this and showing the evidence and building a case slowly so that the people who, unlike us, aren't involved in this all day long, every day, they can see what's going on. And right now we're getting almost like a last week on our show kind of thing where we're catching up with everybody. Everybody's seeing, since the Mueller report, this is what's happened, and you need to pay attention to this now.
Hey, guys, hold on 1 second. We actually have some breakthroughs. Now, it's being reported that the House of Representatives have the numbers to impeach Donald Trump. The Constitution requires 2/3 of a supermajority to convict a person being impeached. The Senate enters judgment on its decision on whether it's to be convicted or acquit, and a copy of the judgment is filed with the Secretary of State for everybody's legal knowledge out there. But just being released, 220... House of Representatives would vote to impeach. So almost, does that change pretty, like you said, if I were a betting man, I think it's going to happen.
Well, the question is, when do they actually do it? Because they're already doing an inquiry. The thing is they're not going to do it tomorrow. It's a politics thing, right?
Right.
I think it would be smart. If I was Nadler and Schiff and Pelosi, I would wait like 4 or 5 months and have like 10 hearings between now and then.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that they are doing is Congress is leaving for vacation. And so this story is what gets to stew in their minds of the American people while they're on vacation.
Well, and the only problem with that is that damage control comes from the White House and from that party, and with little pushback from the rest of the world. You know what I mean? Like, he gets to sing his song and drum his drum and see how many people he gets to hypnotize with the same repetitive stuff. For instance, him can keep deflecting to Biden's son, Biden. And pretty soon you start going, well, maybe Biden did do something. He probably didn't do anything. I don't know that one way or the other. What I do know is that the investigation is on Trump. And the winner on all of this right now is Warren, because she is not part of either one of these scandals, and she's the front runner for the Democratic Party now.
Well, the other thing is that Donald Trump, I think, has beat the same drum so many times about saying everything is a disgrace, and when he's actually a disgrace. And I think the American people are really tired of it. I don't think the same thing is going to work. And he's not the only one that has access to social media. Just because Congress is gone, you can bet your ass they're going to be tweeting just as much as he is. Don't you think, almost?
Yes, and I also think that Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, the head of the House Intelligence Committee and the House Judiciary Committee, respectively, are actually staying in Washington. They both announced that today to work, and their teams are staying in Washington rather than doing constituent services. It's not like when you say they're going on recess, they're not going on like vacation. They're not like going to Hawaii. They're going.
Right.
So like my congressman, Mark Vesey, is coming. He's a Democrat. He's coming here. He's holding an event next week here to Dallas, Texas, just west of downtown where I live. But the Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee are staying in Washington, D.C. and doing work. They are engaged in several lawsuits, something like 15 lawsuits. And they're also working to draft new subpoenas and additional witnesses and stuff for this new impeachment inquiry, which is – that's what I'm talking about. Over the course of the next, 2 to 6 months, I expect to see significant oversight with regards to what's happened in the last couple of days. I want Bill Barr under oath.
Especially if he's referred to as his own personal lawyer.
Right. I want Giuliani under oath in front of Congress.
I want Giuliani's bar license. I want him disbarred.
Yeah, he doesn't need to
lie that much as an attorney.
So something else to consider.
He probably should be disbarred. I mean, that's a pretty nasty remedy because you're taking away his livelihood. But
except for he's worked really hard to lose that livelihood. I mean, just watching it on Cuomo last night where he said three different ways of I did, I did not, I could have talked to, oh, I did what the president told me to just say to the Ukraine. So you did or you didn't talk to the Ukraine, you did or did not follow Donald Trump's direction for Ukraine. Because he had all four ways in one night. So
yeah,
I'm also looking at a nice little website called tweetbinder.com. This is statistics for tweets that go out. If you look at the activity log between January 2017 and to July of 2019, you see this massive increase where Trump starts with 150, maybe 200 tweets a day. He ends up getting up to now he's 400 easy. So he's doubled his volume of his rhetoric as he's continued on. It's like he finds more time to, I guess, less golf, more tweets.
But I'm going to be the first person to say this, and that is that most of America doesn't follow social media unless you're a news junkie like that, like we are, or me at least.
I'm just saying his megaphone.
But people in the rural areas, they're living their life. They're going along, and that's why you have to make sure this gets out to everybody. Hey, guys, real quick, I want y'all to listen to Donald Trump is at a luncheon where I'm sure people paid thousands of dollars to go and see him. Listen to these words that he talks about the whistleblower. I never thought that Donald Trump could go this low, but this is the lowest I think he could actually go.
I know when you're going to play, it makes me sick.
never saw the report, never saw the call, really never saw the call, heard something and decided that he or she, whoever the hell it is, sort of like almost a spy. I want to know who's the person that gave the whistleblower, who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information, because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? With spies and treason. We used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
Okay, so for anybody that laughed in that room, you're a moron. And it makes me sick, too, almost, that the sitting president of the United States basically just threatened the whistleblower's life.
I mean, also some sort of irony here. When this whistleblower is proven to be a sound mind and of intelligent person to, and a brave person for that matter, to come forward like this, and it's actually Trump who's labeled the traitor and the rule breaker and the, like, doesn't he speak his own penalty there? I mean, when I grew up, I used to listen to original Aesop's and original fairy tales where time after time, the ugly stepsisters would come up to the king before Cinderella became queen, and they would announce their own punishments by accident, and then they would be carried out. So, I mean, if Trump's going to say all this now, this is one of those things that would be interesting to bring to court and say, well, you believed in it when it was somebody else. Now, are you going to hold yourself to that tier?
What just took me by surprise is he wasn't standing up there saying this is not true. He didn't do it. All it was is a phone call, and he was doing it presidential. He starts talking about who is this guy, like he wants to hunt him down. Almost, what do you say to that?
Well, pride cometh before the fall, and I thought Copperhead's analysis was right on. With regards to the way a court or a body reviewing evidence for the purposes of impeachment may view his words about the appropriate remedy for traitorous conduct. I don't necessarily think that he's... Oh, God. Okay, I don't want to be too careful here. I know you like it when I'm blunt and direct.
well, but this is the president of the United States, and I understand
right.
it. As much as I hate to admit he is, his office deserves respect.
Yeah,
he doesn't.
We actually
but
sorry,
his office
does. You know who else deserves respect? Something else that I thought the Copperhead was right on about is the CIA whistleblower deserves respect, because if he was, as I described and as it's been reported in the news, if he was the CIA station chief over the Ukraine who had a post in the White House, that man or woman is a career intelligence officer who's worked up to the very top of their game. That person's a patriot and is probably a hero and is, as we've alluded to several times, under serious danger and threat. And it's a sad thing that our president is threatening violence against the whistleblower, but it shows that our institutions are holding and sort of work. You'll recall, I don't know if you remember this, but maybe 6 months ago, one of the first times I was ever on your radio show, John, I was talking about Donald Trump being impeached vis-a-vis the Russian scandal. And I was saying that it's going to be a major test of our institutions. And I'm happy to see that the Office of the Inspector General is not a compromised institution. You know, it appears that the DOJ is compromised, which is awful. You know, he's the top attorney, the top law enforcement officer in the United States appears to be compromised by the corrupt president. But you know, our intelligence communities seem to be holding. The Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, resigned. It appears that McGuire acted reasonably honestly. You know,
it was interesting listening to him being quizzed by the Senate. They apologized. They said, "You've been in so many combat situations. You've done so many. You graduate or you retired as the vice general of the armed forces." And we're throwing more weapons and more ammunition at you than you probably had in your whole year of combat, you know, like your whole career in combat.
Right.
And so, like, he's going through probably more now in the last 6 months than he's gone through the rest of his career as far as being attacked.
Mm-hmm. And so the big kind of overarching point that I was trying to get at is that it's grossly inappropriate for Donald Trump, who is the president of the United States. That doesn't mean he's the king. He doesn't get to decide that the spy and whistleblower should be hung.
Yes, but does he know that?
No, he probably – well, he knows it in his heart of hearts, but he'll never admit it.
Well, I don't know if you guys have, like, seen him, like, on TVs ever since the impeachment was announced. But right after the impeachment was announced, there was a very big, distinct, scared look in his eyes as he was addressing the media. He was not yelling at them. He was not telling people to shut up and you wait your turn. He was very, very just stoic. And he looked scared for the first time. It was almost like the time that somebody screamed, somebody has a gun, when he was in Vegas. And then the Secret Service got out around him. But right then, he was really scared. I saw the same scared looks in his eyes. And I really don't think he thought that the House would go through this with this process. And I think they're going to file, based off of this situation, like you said, almost, this is a very simple proceed. This is a very simple story, basically.
Right.
And, you know, you're introducing a story to the, like a jury. The Mueller report was very confusing and very long, and everything
it really
that happened.
Wasn't as long as you this wanted was, to read 600 pages. The problem was is that American people don't have 2 hours of their lives to sit down and try to digest the word speak of political documents. This is very
yeah, that was written by a lawyer. The Mueller report is written like an indictment. It's way different than this whistleblower report is written like a – it's almost like a news story.
It's almost like a firsthand account, and that's really
– Yeah, it is a firsthand account, yeah.
Yeah, so this is something that's digestible. It's approachable. It's black and white as far as it – not only that, but like the fact that he says in the phone call, this is Donald Trump, I need a favor, as the very first line pretty much in the whole story – that's right there is the chain of where he went wrong. I mean, there's like no other way he could have possibly gotten caught unless he had said those exact same phrase, but he says that exact phrase. Like the rest of it can all be stipulation. That's undeniable.
Well, and that's what Steve Colbert said last night on his show, that Donald Trump made a comment that, do you really think I would be stupid enough, knowing that all these people are listening to this phone call, to sit there and ask people for a favor like that? And then he goes, ding, ding, ding. The very first word out of his mouth was,
"Do you
hear
me?" That's a good joke.
I mean, like, so, he's asked on political TV whether or not Russia can hear him and get the emails back to him. Hasn't he? Weren't we all there for that interview or that segment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing about Comey being fired for that rusher thing.
No, it's crazy. Guys, if you're just joining us, you're listening to All You Need to Know Radio. This is a special edition of the show. We are commercial free. Our show is brought to you tonight by Warwards and Nunn, 972-863-9592. We are very excited and honored to have one of the partners of that firm, Amos Warrench, with us. He's also our guy with Best in Justice. And so let's switch one gear. If you have just a little bit more time, Amos, or I know you have don't only have a certain amount of time.
You know, I do have a little bit of an obligation in a short amount of time, but I can stay on for about 5 to 10 more minutes, please.
Cool. Rudy Great. Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying him? Are the taxpayers paying him? Because legally, you can't do work for the government and not get paid.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about Giuliani?
Yeah, yes. Rudy Giuliani.
I believe Donald Trump pays him individually, like not as the president, but like not
individual.
Like from his personal accounts.
What if he was paying through the White House?
I mean that
would that be a violation?
That would be a.
I don't even know how that would work because Treasury would have to authorize that. I guess it's like theoretically possible that Mnuchin is cutting big fat checks to Bracewell Giuliani, the law firm, but I have a suspicion that that's not what's going on.
With the president saying, talk to my guys, I'll send you the Attorney General Barr and I'll send you Giuliani, like, he claims that that Barr works for him effectively, which he works with representation of the president, I'm sure, but not as a private investigator to Biden's go-abouts at the call of the president. And Giuliani seems to be an extension of that arm, and he's treating them synonymously, like they can be interchanged from each other. And that doesn't seem that seems like a big flag for me.
Well, who's the
I believe in the whistleblower's complaint, it states that in the president's phone call, he repeatedly referred to Barr and Giuliani in tandem, I think was the word in the whistleblower's complaint. And that is – you're making a very solid point, Copperhead, because the DOJ is not the president's personal lawyer, and the president's personal lawyer – should not be involved in foreign policy. So it's like neither of those people should be involved in
it seems like the DOJ
negotiations with the Ukraine.
The DOJ should be involved with Giuliani going over there. He should be investigating Giuliani, not Biden.
Yeah, they should indict his ass, pardon my French.
Exactly. Hey, you know something I just noticed? I was trying to remember what the National Director of Intelligence name was, but he's actually the acting National director.
We need to get a count. It would be interesting to find out how many acting that we have and how many full positions we have.
He was asked today if Rudy Giuliani has security clearance. He didn't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he does.
During the interview at the Senate today, too, they were asking whether or not the president was part of the intelligence community and whether he should be held accountable for the same rules and regulations that the intelligence community has. And considering that we have intelligence that is read by him and redacted by him or held by him or created by him or finalized by him, it makes him the beginning, middle, and end of anyone in the intelligence community. So therefore, he should be, is what Congress was suggesting. And having Giuliani privy to a lot of this information makes me wonder how much information he's actually gleaned, much like his children, much like Trump's children have had access to when it's been completely inappropriate. And what kind of actions should happen if that's found out?
I mean, legally, again, you know, we have this problem where the top cop is corrupted. I'm talking about Attorney General William Barr not acting appropriately when it comes to Trump and his circle's crimes because he is himself part of the circle. So, you know, in a perfect world
– reputation too. I mean, that justifies everything.
Almost. Did you say that you did not know whether or not Rudy Giuliani had security clearance, or did you say he does not?
I'm pretty sure he does not.
He does.
He does. That's interesting.
He does.
That's shocking, actually.
So did you Google it? Does it say what classification?
I'm reading it on CNN. They just said that he does have security clearance, and that's as far as they went. And that's why he was able to go over. And he's supposedly negotiating for the United States with the Ukraine. So that's what was coming into play. And actually,
what would his title be?
Talking about having him barred now.
I mean, there's no way that you could go over there and be like, hi, I'm the president's personal lawyer, and this is legit. Because by that definition, that's once again asking for outside foreign aid. And
that's a good point.
I mean, like, there's no title he could have working for the president or working for Donald Trump that he could use that would verify or validate why he was there.
Well,
I agree.
Donald
and
Trump
I think
is saying that, you know, talk to these are my guys. Well, the insinuation is right in your face. I mean, that's the funny thing about, the dumbest thing about Donald Trump, if there's anything worse, is he does this in plain daylight. I mean, he doesn't even try to hide the corruption in what he's doing.
So do you know how to boil a frog?
Oh, Lord.
Tell me.
Almost, this is some random Arkansas trivia here for you kids. So
yes,
when
sir.
You if you take a frog, live or dead, and you throw it into a pot of boiling water, it will jump out automatically. It's a reflex that's built into the very core of what a frog is. But here's the interesting thing. You can put a live or a dead frog in a pool of water and slowly crank that water up until it's boiling, and suddenly you have frog legs. What Donald Trump does every day is he slowly amps us up. How many weeks in a row have we gone, this week he's going to get indicted for this. Oh, this week he's definitely going to get sued for this. Oh, this week he's definitely going to be out of it. Oh, I can't believe we're to this point in our government. Oh, this week we pushed it further. It's like a carousel that never ends, but just keeps escalating, and we just keep getting frog legs all day long.
So the political science term for that is called the Gish Gallop, G-I-S-H Gallop.
Right.
And what that refers to, it's also been referred to as the fire hose of falsehoods. It's significantly more difficult to disprove something than it is to assert something that is untrue. It's harder to, like, show your work and prove why somebody's lying than it is to tell the lie initially.
It's harder to prove that I didn't show you anything than it is to just deflect from him. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what happens is, Donald Trump or his minions do something so egregious and so ridiculous and so sue-worthy or indictment-worthy or impeachment-worthy, and then while everybody has their hands up in the air about one thing or one lie or one misrepresentation or one corrupt act, he goes and commits another one and another one and another one and another one, and it's the Gish Gallop. It's the fire hose of falsehood. It's so hard to keep up with it all that lots of people just turn it off.
And I think a lot of them don't pay attention to what's going on until it's too late. I think we've gotten to the point now, watching especially like his daughter talk to dignitaries that she has no right to be even associating with, or catching him walking through the demilitarized zone when that's completely inappropriate for anyone, rather yet our own president to be acknowledging that or talking to dictators that shouldn't exist.
They're madly in love.
It's to the point, though, where every day the new scandal, it's hard to keep track of what happened to the last one. Not only that, but he's doing three of them a day and only two of them are announced. You know, whatever happened to lesbians in the military? That was one of the first ones that I remember kind of popping up. Then it became, now we have children in cages, and now we have a wall, and now we have funding, and now we have Putin, and now we have electoral interference. It becomes a snowball, and I can't keep track of the avalanche of information coming at me with repercussions to any of that, because we've already moved on to the next slope.
Well, apparently he was at the border the other day, and he was trying to explain to the media all these incredible things about this beautiful wall. It's going to be big and beautiful, probably have Trump at the top of it. But apparently there's some kind of security at the top of it that he started to expose, a national security. And he wanted the Border Patrol chief to explain to the media what was going on. And then the guy's like, well, some things are better left not told.
Well, almost
he's a loose cannon. He gave up an Israeli spy like within 2 weeks of being the president. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's a walking, talking national security disaster.
Exactly. Did you ever think you would see art that would be this bad, though?
Honestly, I thought it would be bad when he got elected, but I didn't think it would be this bad. That's the truth.
Ditto. I'm scared to say what is the next thing he could do, because he did say he could shoot somebody in Times Square and he would get away with it.
Well, what's scary is that the guy
starting a war.
He definitely has problems with his sight. I think it was relayed to me before that he doesn't know where he's at or what he's doing half the time. For instance, he was on a bus and he thought that was a locker room, talking about how inappropriately he could grab a hold of women. So he definitely has no problem with telling what's on his mind and the free thinking and free connections that he has with that sort of stuff. And what comes out of his mouth, I think he's just as surprised as we are what happens. It comes out of his mouth. It doesn't pass through his brain at all.
Well, and the thing is, when that happened with the Access Hollywood bus and all of that nonsense and disrespectful things to women that he was saying, and when the public accepted his response that he apologized for the first time in his life first, and then he said it was locker room talk. And when people started taking that as gospel of what
okay.
he did.
Yeah.
That made me worry. I did, however,
yeah, me too.
Underestimate how much Hillary Clinton was hated.
The bigger thing is, I think we have another job as individuals to go through and pull it and help share the information that we have. Your opinions do matter, but facts are what's facts, and you can't deny those. It's not one of those things. Who was it that said facts can be construed or misplaced? I'm sorry. When they're black and white and there's no constructions to them, no filter to them, facts cannot be denied. And it comes
down
to
alternative facts.
Alternative facts or untruths or whatever they want to call them today. Like
everybody
the problem
out there,
is,
alternative facts are not facts.
When you look at your paycheck right now and you look at your grocery bill side by side compared to what they were last year, are you still making the same amount of money that you made? Are you still having the same amount of free money, I should say, to invest, to entertain, to throw around per your discretion past your regular bills? When you look at the world around you, do you see the love and kindness and acceptance and commitment to our community and commitment to the nation that we used to have? Or do you put an alarm on your house and you're not sure who your neighbors are anymore and you're afraid of everyone else that's on TV because they keep telling you to be afraid of the Muslims or the Jews or the whites or the blacks or whoever else is on the gays or the straights? There's a level of our world right now that has fallen apart, and I'm not going to blame Trump exclusively for it, but he's definitely been somebody who has a chance and a soapbox to put us to help minimize it, and instead he's escalating it. So when it comes down to it, we have a job as individuals to love each other, to take care of our communities and take care of our families and take care of those strangers even that we don't know, that we're not doing, that we used to do. Is that what we
Absolutely.
Want for the future?
And that's a really, really good point, Copperhead. Hey, Almost, let's give you a couple of minutes to do closing argument about what you think is going to happen next.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I think that we're in for an interesting couple of months. The way that the House Democrats pursue the impeachment inquiry is going to be critical and probably pretty entertaining as well as very interesting. I'm wondering if they're going to start being truly aggressive. It seems like the tide has turned somewhat amongst public sentiment and amongst the Democratic backbenchers.
Even the Republican Party.
Even parts of the Republican Party seem to be cracking a little bit. I mean, you heard John Kasich, former Republican governor, on CNN at the top of the show talking about how obviously and clearly inappropriate Donald Trump's actions were. So I'm wondering, and I'd like to see William Barr get impeached. I'd like to see Matthew Whitaker. Remember him? He was the AG for a little bit. He lied under oath to Congress. He should also be indicted. I'd like to see a real investigation into the details of this scandal vis-a-vis Ukraine, because what's interesting is it is within the United States' national security interest to bolster Ukraine in its war against Russia. And Donald Trump didn't want to do that, so they would investigate Biden, allegedly. But it's possible, and it's not beyond comprehension, that another reason he wanted to do that is because Russia ordered him to. So
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'd like to see a real deep investigation into the underlying, you know, how the Ukraine call came to be and why Barr and Giuliani and all those ghouls are hanging around Kiev so much.
Right.
It's not like it's super strategically important to the United States. It's
not as entertaining
as that. Because they want I'm sorry. I could go on for a long time, but in general, I think this next few months is going to be really interesting, and I want to see some serious investigations and aggressiveness from the Democratic House of Representatives.
I want to take that a step further than you did. Watching the Democrats is one thing. It's almost an expectation to see. I mean, I could probably script it out for you right here, right now, what will happen on their part. The more interesting part are going to be two people. The Republican Party as a whole because they have a responsibility for this too. We're talking about the Senate and the House. They still have their first job is to be a senator or a representative, not to get that job. But they already have that job. They have the responsibility of keeping the checks and balances in place and being responsible for those. The second part is the people of the Republican Party. Those who vote Republican and they vote R because it's red. Like, that's going to be an interesting thing to see if they continue doing this, because this is not the Republican Party that my parents grew up in. This is not the Republican Party that I even started voting for when I was younger. This is a totally extreme right that has set us back 60 years. It's one thing to be progressive. It's another thing to be Republican and be standard. But to throw us backwards so many years after success of equal rights, of self-wealth, of the individual rights, and now we're setting ourselves backwards. Is the Republican Party going to stay intact, or is it going to split, or is it going to turn into something extremely further right than even the Republican Party was?
All right, guys. So we are out of time. So we want to thank Amos Warrench with Warrench.
You're welcome, John. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Next week, we'll talk about this in more detail. God only knows what will be coming up then, Amos.
Quick call out, guys.
Copperhead, you got 1 minute.
I just want to give a shout out to everybody. You find me on Instagram and Facebook. It's going to be ANR, All Need Radio Copperhead. So All Need Radio, ANR Copperhead. You find me on Facebook, find me on Instagram, and we'll see how that works.
All right, guys, this is All You Need to Know Radio. This is our special edition. Once again, Donald Trump making history, becoming the fourth president only to face impeachment in the history of our country. Everybody be safe out there. As
be loved.
I always say, keep reaching for the stars, because that's where it all begins. Good night from Dallas, Texas.
Realize that compression is